to War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. It's Monday, the 10th of November, 2025. We have an absolutely gigantic show for you today. I'm trying to take a bird's eye view for most of this show. I'll give you the details, certainly, but more of the overall arc of history and where we land in that trajectory. We do have a lot to talk about. No guests today, so we will be opening up the phone lines for your calls. A whole weekend's worth of nonsense to talk about. So let's just get into it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 10th of November, 2025. Former Capitol Police officer, a forensic match for January 6th pipe bomber, sources say. This, of course, broke last Friday. I wasn't here. Thank you to Rob Dew for covering for me. But it continued to be a major story throughout the weekend, and new developments are breaking this week. A computer program that compared the bomb suspect's gait, the way she walked, to that of Shawnee Kerkhoff, produced a 94% match. So this forensic analysis is thought to confirm a suspect who was a Capitol Police officer for 4.5 years who left the department mid-2021 for a security detail at the CIA, sources told Blaze News. Again, we'll get into this. And the thing to understand is just this is yet another piece of evidence in what we've known since the day it happened. January 6th was a setup, highly orchestrated, highly choreographed, with false flag upon false flag. And of course, the bomb was, you know, integral in all of that, because I don't know if you know this, the reason the Capitol was evacuated was the bomb threat. The bomb threat happened before any, you know, barrier had been broken or people had stormed in. So first you plant the fake bomb, you discover the bomb, you evacuate everybody, then you attack the crowd, allow them to storm the Capitol. By that point, everybody's evacuated because of the aforementioned bomb threat, a very well-designed operation, but it's all unraveling now. Meanwhile, Supreme Court rejects bid to overturn decision legalizing same-sex marriage. U.S. Supreme Court on November 10th rejected a challenge to its landmark 2015 ruling that requires all states to grant licenses for same-sex marriage. Now, I think it was wrong for them to do it in 2015. However, this is a good thing, actually. Actually, them not doing this right now is a good thing for us, because this is something that would have massively activated leftists and Democrats for the foreseeable future. So thank you, Supreme Court. Let's just deal with the gay marriage. Now we got a lot of other stuff to deal with. Let's not kick the hornet's nest of, oh my God, they hate gay people. Let's all go vote. Just please, please just focus on saving the country. Then we can do all of the other stuff. Meanwhile, Kiev targets Russia's energy supply after a massive attack on Ukraine power grid. Several Ukrainian regions suffered total power outages on Sunday after Russia launched what the state grid operator called the most massive strike against Ukraine's power plant since the beginning of Moscow's full-scale invasion of the country. And in fact, there are satellite views where Ukraine now looks a lot like North Korea, where all the other countries are lit up and Ukraine is basically entirely black because Russia wiped out their energy production as that senseless, pointless, ill-advised conflict continues to get worse and worse. Hey, speaking of, Trump welcomes Syria's Shara in first-of-its-kind visit. Syrian President Shara makes the first White House visit of a Syrian head of state. Al-Shara arrived at the White House around 11:30 a.m. and shortly after began his Oval Office meeting, which remained closed to the press. The Syrian president slash former ISIS decapitator had a great time in Washington. Isn't that wonderful? It was about a year ago that there was a $10 million bounty on his head for all of the terrorism that he committed, but now I guess he's serving our interests. So we'll be friends with him until it's time to throw him under the bus and go to war with him. That's the strategy we usually pursue. Of course, it's all about Israel. That'll be a theme in today's show. And finally, we have this government shutdown latest. The Senate moves towards ending the shutdown as Trump says some air controllers may be docked. A new bill to end the government shutdown was released and then quickly advanced by the Senate on Sunday in the most direct sign yet that the record-setting stoppage could soon come to an end. Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness. I know we were all wondering what we were going to do. We've all been, you know, frozen since the government shutdown. Right? We haven't done anything, right?
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think that this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theory. So there's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. Share those links. Follow us on X. And we so appreciate your support at thealexjonesstore.com. I got so much to get to. It's not even funny. And I'm sort of tempted to just get right into the Republican Civil War, but I'm so exhausted by this topic. But it continues. It continues unabated. And in fact, it's accelerating in certain regards. I've got more clips of Jonathan Greenblatt and Ben Shapiro than anybody wants to watch, but they're still very much on the warpath. And I can't help but think that this is sort of the overarching conflict that will determine the outcome of all the other conflicts. Will we actually have an America First Party? Will we actually do something in the future to substantially change the trajectory that the Western world is on? Or will we wallow forever in the absurdity that's been foisted on us? A lot of it depends on whether or not we even have a single party anywhere in the Western world that can actually stand up for the rights, privileges, benefits, citizenry of the country that they're supposed to represent. It's a pretty big issue. It's sort of the defining conflict of the modern age. So we are going to cover that quite a bit, and I've got some revelations about it that I think you may be interested in. But why is this important? Why is it so urgent that we get over this hump and focus on maintaining power into the future? Because the Democrats are not even remotely shy about what they intend come 2028. So I want to go to this clip of this old weirdo. What's his name? The Cajun guy, the raging Cajun fella. Because he's not shy about it. He tells us exactly, you know, what their plans are. And it has to do with absolutely packing the Supreme Court so they can continue to dominate forever. Let's go to clip number 57 here. It's whatever this jackass's name is, Carville, James Carville, explaining to everybody what the Democrats intend, and they sure do seem confident that they're going to achieve it. Let's watch. Clip 57.
I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. A Democrat is going to be elected in 2028. You know that. I know that. It's going to be a Democratic House. It's going to be a Democratic Senate. The Democratic president is going to announce a special transition advisory committee on the reform of the Supreme Court, that we could have our third branch of government has lost the faith and trust of American people, and his president would are going to do everything along. He's going to appoint a blue ribbon, maybe Judge Luttig and the dean of the, you know, just that you recommend that the number of Supreme Court justices go from 9 to 13. That's going to happen, people. That's going to happen to you. They're going to win. They're going to do some blue ribbon panel of distinguished jurists, and they are going to recommend 13, and a Democratic Senate and House are going to pass it, and the Democratic president is going to sign it because they have to do an intervention so we can have a Supreme Court that the American people trust again. So just keep that in the back of your mind. And I would bet a lot of money that that's what's going to happen. A lot.
So there you go. That's James Carville just laying it out for you in perfectly clear English. And it's amazing because he's even like, you know, yeah, we'll have like a blue ribbon panel or whatever. I mean, this is how they do it. And the American people are so stupid that they can come out and say what they're planning on doing and people will still fall for it. Like, you understand, if their intention is to pack the Supreme Court with four extra jurors, take it from 9 to 13, they're just going to do that. But they understand that that would look maybe a little bit one-sided, maybe a little bit tyrannical, maybe a little bit unfair, anti-democratic. So they're going to have a blue ribbon panel of distinguished jurists who will decide on what they already have decided. But then you understand, like, once they do that, you know, they'll announce, oh, they just think we should, take the Supreme Court to 13. And all the dummies out there will go, well, you know, if the blue ribbon panel says it, I mean, they were distinguished jurists after all. You know, I thought maybe this would be a partisan thing from the Democrats, but no, they had that blue ribbon committee that they kept, asserting, they kept claiming over and over again that they were nonpartisan, unbiased. So, you know, if they say 13, then I guess we'll go with that. They are literally laying out their psyop for everybody to see. And maybe we should take them seriously. Maybe we should take them exactly as seriously as they seem to be taking this. So again, just same image as ever. We have the gun and they're sitting there making videos going, well, when we get back into office, we're going to take that gun and shoot them in the head with it. So don't tell them or else they might shoot us. But they're too cowardly to shoot us. We'll shoot them as soon as we get it. Mark my words. And it's like, okay, let's shoot them in the head. Metaphorically, by which I mean pack the Supreme Court. Because then we can achieve things that we seem incapable of achieving for some reason. For some godforsaken reason. We have such a brief period here to make the most of this. And it's unbelievably infuriating how off the mark we are. And look, I don't know anybody that disagrees with this. I don't know anybody except maybe Trump himself who thinks things are going well. And that might just be him gilding the lily or whatever the term is, making things look nicer than they really are. Like, they came out today and he's just like, there is no affordability crisis. It's like, yes, there is. What are you talking about? Why do you keep celebrating victory when we still are very much in the trenches and not achieving what we should be achieving? It's a bit very infuriating. And again, I don't want to, I was trying not to just go right into this, but we're just going to do it. We're just going to get into it because this really is the decider. This is the thing that we're all trying to figure out. How are we ever going to win when we are engaged in this absurd civil war with MAGA? The MAGA civil war. How are we going to, and let me just say, when it comes to actual civil war, see, I got to figure out how to lay all this out, okay? Actual civil war is not a viable path, okay? It's not a viable path for a couple of reasons. The main reason being that the left in this country are not just other Americans with a different idea of how America should be. They are not American. They don't have loyalty to America. They don't like America. They genuinely want America to go away forever. And most of them are foreign. The majority of the people that, you know, are engaged in driving us towards this aren't even American in any respect, except that they're here and they hate us. If actual conflict starts, if there's actually like bloody battles in the street and like fighting block to block, you absolutely know the first thing they would do would be to call on the UN and NATO and China and any other military force to come save the poor, oppressed, whatever, from big, bad Nazi Trump. And they would, and the powers that be all across the world are eagerly awaiting that moment to contribute to the, you know, final blow and truly destroy the powerhouse that is the United States. Civil war is not an option for us. Like all things, you know, if we were sealed off, if we were actually, you know, not a part of the world and just had America in some pocket dimension somewhere, then I wouldn't worry about a civil war. The right wing would just mop the floor with the left, and it would be fun. It would be fun at the end of the day. It'd be brutal and miserable, but also very much fun. But that's not the world we live in. We live in a deeply interconnected world, a lot of major powers with very heavy weaponry that would be called upon by the people in our own country to kill us. So civil war is not an option. Let's just take that off the table. Now, if you want to talk about military action in America, then that's got to happen now while we are still in charge. But civil war is basically off the table. It just doesn't work because we have wolves outside of the door waiting for the fight to start so they can, you know, bust in and wreck us. So we have to win politically. We have to win politically in an overwhelming and aggressive way. Not politically in that we have to win the debate and get the right votes and move in that direction. No, we have to cross the Rubicon. We have to disenfranchise the left to the maximum degree. And we have to do it strategically and swiftly and without reservation or hesitation. So I'm not saying we have to like not do what's the difficult things that are necessary, but taking it to civil war level, it would not be beneficial for anybody. So we have to win politically in an overwhelming fashion. And the one thing most preventing us from doing that right now is Israel, is the state of Israel, who are working desperately to glue themselves to the right wing in this country, which will make us lose electorally, hugely unpopular. It also completely misaims the energy and intentions of our politicians. If we are spending very precious time and resources and energy and political capital on serving Israel, then it's not serving us. And our problems are not being solved. They're only getting worse. And then people that are Republican that do want to be on the MAGA train go, what the hell? What did I vote for? Nothing that we want is getting done. A bunch of stuff that we explicitly didn't want is happening. And stuff we didn't even know we didn't want is happening. War with Venezuela, nobody even thought that was anywhere on the table, but it's here now. And there's no reason for it. There's no explanation for it. But for some godforsaken reason, we are starting a war in Venezuela. Totally ridiculous. Totally anti-MAGA, not what we want. So when it comes to the MAGA Civil War, to me, the most important thing to understand is that there are two sides to this, and these are the two sides. There is the America First, anti-war, MAGA, sort of libertarian bending, America First patriots versus the insane, rabid, censorious, pro-Israel Zionist side. These are the two sides. Now, there's also a word of warning because what they want the two sides to be perceived as are the fiscally conservative pro-Israel side that is in favor of the Western world and just respectable and keeping the train on the tracks versus the crazy neo-Nazis and the crypto-communists and the Muslim infiltrators. And it's like, that is not the divide. That is the perceived divide. That is the, fake ghost apparition that they're, tilting against, but it doesn't actually exist. It's not actually real. Now, by being so provocative, by being so unbearable, the Israeli side is trying desperately to create the Nazi side. And I see a lot of people falling for this. In fact, I have a video from Ian Carroll where he's, asked people, like, don't give in to hate, basically. And a bunch of people going, no, shut up. It's time to hate. And it's like, what do you not understand about the fact that that is literally exactly what they want? They desperately want the division to be between the respectable and kind, and yeah, they're pro-Israel, but really they're just fiscally conservative and, the old guard that you can trust with your money versus the crazy, hateful neo-Nazis. Like, don't give them what they want, my God. It's also just not good for you or your soul, but politically, strategically, it ain't good. Now, with all of the claims that MAGA is being infiltrated by Nazis, I think it's worth asking the question, what is a Nazi? What even is that at this point? What does that even mean? I know what I think of when I think of Nazis, but I don't think it's what they're talking about when they say Nazis. And we've got articles that are like kind of hilarious where they say this from Daily Beast. Republican insider admits party is now open to actual Nazis actual Nazis, folks. That's right. There's a time machine involved, I think. Because what the hell are Nazis? Now, if you ask someone like ChatGPT to give you the actual definition of Nazis, it's a supporter of the National Socialist German Workers' Party from the 1920s. Is that who they're talking about? Are they saying that the Republican Party is now open to people who genuinely believe in workers' rights in Germany and is still pissed off about the Treaty of Versailles? Is that what they're talking about? Or does Nazi have a different definition that maybe we can uncover as we explore the way it's used? I don't think there's a lot of people in the Republican Party that is worried about, I don't know, things like preserving the Aryan race's, you know, genetic superiority. I don't think they're worried very much about establishing a racial hierarchy. They're certainly not in favor of government-owned businesses, government-controlled corporations or industries. They're not exactly agitating for Lebensraum in talking about invading Poland. So what do you mean there are actual Nazis? What could that possibly mean? And then it gets weird. And again, I'm just trying to puzzle this out. I'm sorry to pause here, but it gets a little bit confusing. But I think if we just take away all of the insinuations and the context and the whatever, what's actually happening here is that they're putting the label Nazi on people that are anti-Israel or anti-Jewish influence in America, because that is, I guess, an overlap of the Venn diagram of actual Nazis and just people on the right that don't like being taken advantage of by a foreign state. They do have that overlap. And so when they say Nazi, what they actually mean is just sort of anti-Israel. Now, the reason that Nazis were originally despised, the reason we went to war with them. Now, remember, the Nazis, like the death camps, the Holocaust, that wasn't even a thing until after the war. Like, nobody knew about it. It wasn't like the reason we went to war. Nobody even knew about it until after the war. And even then, it took like, you know, 50 years or whatever for it to even get into the encyclopedia as a thing that happened. But regardless, the reason we hated the Nazis was because they practiced collective punishment. It was because they did have a sense of superiority and treated people that weren't of their ethnicity like animals, like dirt, with no human rights or respect whatsoever. Totalitarianism, censorship, right? Authoritarianism, using force to compel obedience in their citizenry. In other words, all of the things that Israel is doing right now, all of the things that define the outrage that the so-called Nazis in the Republican Party have about our support to Israel and the way that they behave. So in this weird inversion, I think you can see now why it's kind of hard to even talk about this, is that the Republican Party is full of Nazis who are the people that resolutely stand against all of the thing that Nazis do and the Nazis are about and are hated for. And so it's a little bit confusing. It's a little bit wonky. Like, I don't quite get it. I mean, the example I've used often is, you know, over the Halloween holiday a couple weeks ago, there was a guy that was dressed up like a Nazi. He tried to get into a bar and was assaulted. And people were basically pushing him and shoving him, yelling at him, getting in his face and trying to rip his clothes off because he had like a Nazi armband and they were like trying to rip it off of him. And then he was arrested because he fought back the people that were attacking him. Now, that's a story straight out of Nazi Germany. It's just, you know, the characterization would have been inverted. You wouldn't be surprised if you'd heard about a Jewish person wearing a, you know, outwardly, explicitly Jewish piece of clothing, being surrounded by a mob and attacked, and people tried to rip it off. And when he defended himself, the police arrested him and threw him in jail for daring to, you know, instigate a fight with Germans by being Jewish in their presence. So again, it's like, okay, they're outraged at the symbol, the crooked cross, the swastika, I'm outraged at the thing the symbol is supposed to represent, which is violence in response to free speech, which is attacking people on the basis of their belief system and assaulting them if they don't, you know, denounce it. So everything's a little bit inverted. Everything's a little bit weird. Everything's a little bit wonky, okay? Doesn't make a lot of sense, I have to admit. And so if you look through, like, what, you know, like, the reason that we actually went to war with the Nazis, it is actually everything that describes Israel, right? German aggression and expansion, okay? Like, starting war with Gaza in order to annex it, the Greater Israel Project. Okay, great. Threat to global stability. Can you point to a bigger one than Israel? Fascism and totalitarianism. They say the Nazi ideology directly opposed the values of democracy and freedom held by Western nations. They suppressed free speech, banned opposition parties, and murdered political opponents. Remind you of anybody? Assassination, censorship. It's fascinating. Who does this describe? The Holocaust and human rights atrocities. As the war progressed, it became clear that Nazi Germany was committing genocide on an unprecedented scale, but was really nothing compared to what Israel is currently doing in front of everybody in the full view of cell phone cameras. So when they say there are Nazis in the Republican Party, what they mean is that there are anti-Nazis in the Republican Party. What they mean is that there are people that don't like when Jews in Israel do what the Germans in Nazi Germany were doing. And they want to saddle you with the label of Nazi because you're standing up against their Nazi-like behavior. It's confusing, but it's actually fairly simple. It's actually not all that complicated. Especially when you get down to things like an article that came out over the weekend from Barclay Bram. Make America procreate again among the MAGA fertility fanatics. And this was posted on The Economist, and they posted the tweet of this article saying, with Trump and Vance in power, many pronatalists believe this is the moment to jumpstart baby making. But some critics see pronatalism as a part of an insidious project to create a whiter America. Okay, so this was published in The Economist, a major mainstream, you know, international publication. And it is very explicitly claiming that white people having babies is an act of supremacy and an insidious project. It is one of the most hateful and ridiculously genocidal things I've ever seen published. Yes, the author is Jewish. And you have to wonder, with publications like this spreading, is there any way to resist this without being a so-called Nazi, without being labeled a quote-unquote Nazi? Because it seems to me like anybody trying somehow to resist the very deliberate destruction of white people around the world is going to be labeled a Nazi and crushed with everything that the powers that be have. So, you know, we'll expand on this a little bit on the other side. I'll show you some clips from Ben Shapiro and Jonathan Greenblatt. But if we don't come to terms with this and understand this and start moving forward and leaving this in the wake, nothing else is going to get solved. Nothing else matters. We have to get elected next year, and that depends on us breaking with Israel.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. that I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, oh, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is the War Room. We'll return to a moment and just in the various ways that America is being scammed out of existence. But I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. Well, let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason because it is the final batch of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps, Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Ultimate Fish Oil is one of the best. I mean, if you take any supplement, it's a pretty high chance that it's fish oil. So if you're going out and buying fish oil from, you know, Amazon or the supermarket, you're really wasting your money. Ultimate Fish Oil is going to be a superior quality at 40% off. It's probably going to be significantly cheaper than whatever you get at a store. And it's from InfoWars. It keeps us going. It really is a 360 win. It's a powerful supplement, and not all fish oil supplements are created equal. Ours is the best source, the best quality, the highest concentration. The targeted release, you don't get the burps that you get with the lower quality, cheaper, crappy stuff. And not even cheaper. Cheaper, by which I mean less quality, not less expensive, because in fact ours is less expensive than the much, much lower quality stuff that you'll find at supermarkets and online. So please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy. Now, I got to admit, I'm like a little bit, I'm a little bit black-pilled today, just because when you really take in and just like sit back and absorb all of the various ways that humanity is being utterly screwed, that America is being scammed and destroyed from the inside out, it's really overwhelming. And once again, I feel like I'm looking at the Gordian knot, just being like, yeah, we got to just cut this with a sword. Yeah, we just need to slice right through this and just start over from scratch somehow, because it's too much. It really is overwhelming, the amount of money, the amount of destruction that we've wrought on ourselves, because there's like multiple layers to every single one of these things. I'll play a couple videos. All right, let's go to clip 58 here. This is one of the main reasons I think the SNAP program is being allowed to continue on. Well, that's because the government reopens, or because they just do it anyway. They're going to pay for SNAP benefits, and thank goodness, because otherwise, what would Walmart do? Here's how Walmart benefits from the SNAP program: direct injections of cash from your pocketbook to their corporation. Let's watch clip 58 now.
So all of a sudden, Walmart's dropping prices after SNAP benefits get cut off? Not exactly, but let me break it down so you understand how it really works. And remember this, subsidies always lead to inflation. See, Walmart pulls in about $25 billion a year from SNAP. That's a guaranteed government paycheck. And when Biden exploded SNAP by 6%, Walmart turned around and raised prices 25% or more, blaming inflation. But it was really manipulation, because when the government hands out more money, of course demand's going to go up. It's basic economics. So now SNAP's paused. You'd think prices would drop, right? Not so fast, because instead of cutting prices, Walmart is cutting inventory to keep the inflated prices stable, when we all know that the demand was never real in the first place. So tell me again, how does it make sense to fund a program where 70% of the money doesn't even go to Americans, and at the same time drives up prices on everyone? That's the government transferring your taxes to big corporations who then charge you higher prices. And that's the way it works.
So that's what I mean. Like, how many ways are we being screwed right there? It's like, okay, money is being taken from productive people and given to unproductive people. Walmart is being injected with $25 billion of government money, right? You can just picture, like, the government is taking money out of your bank account and just giving it to Walmart so they can feed people who don't work, don't pull their own weight, and of intergenerational dependency on your money being given to that major corporation, which in turn, you know, donates money to the Democrats, sponsors all sorts of horrible things, hires, you know, immigrants, participates in the tent program, you know, destroys your country in a variety of different ways, and it makes the prices higher. So your wallet's getting squeezed in that direction too. So in this one, you know, act of transfer of SNAP benefits from the taxpayer dollars you pay into Walmart's coffers, you get screwed over like five different ways. It's your money being taken, your prices go up, a corporation that hates you gets funded, and people that don't work and don't contribute anything benefit at your expense. And that's just one example. $25 billion a year directly into the coffers of the I don't know, stockholders of Walmart as they buy chips and soda and whatever else. That's just one. Let's go to clip 44 here. Over a million stolen identities of Americans were used to make false Medicare claims, stealing another $14.6 billion from you every single year. Let's go to clip number 44.
We are announcing today charges against 324 defendants for their alleged participation in healthcare fraud schemes involving approximately $14.6 billion in false claims submitted to Medicare, Medicaid, and other healthcare programs. The largest coordinated healthcare fraud takedown in the history of the Department of Justice. To make matters worse, these perpetrators used the stolen identities of more than 1 million Americans spanning all 50 states to perpetrate this scheme and submit these false claims. But I'm pleased to report that federal agents intercepted and arrested key members of that organization at U.S. airports and the U.S.-Mexico border, cutting off their intended escape route.
So there you go. Foreigners coming into America and just bilking the Medicare system for $14.6 billion. Just 320 of them. What's 14.6 billion divided by 320? And they're ready to escape back to their home countries when we caught them at the last moment. God only knows how many other situations like this are happening. I mean, I could show you story after story. I don't even cover them because it's like it'd take too much time. But it's routine. There's an Indian like a grocery store that was just discovered. They were claiming that they were creating food for elementary schools and feeding 6,000 kids a day. Every single day they were sending a bill for 6,000 meals. They never produced a single meal. This went on for like years. I've explained it a lot over and over again, but I still think people have trouble comprehending this. Other cultures aren't like our culture, okay? When you hear something like that, when you hear that they're, you know, setting up fake, you know, clinics and, you know, paying or, you know, sending bills to Medicare and getting paid out from the government, you're probably rightly appalled by that. You recognize that it's just, it's not good. If everybody acted that way, we couldn't have a civilization. You can't behave that way. They just think they're being clever. They're just like, well, you're stupid. You set up a system where we can just send you a bill and you pay it. Of course, we're going to send you a bill until you stop paying it. And we're going to run away. Like, you're an idiot for doing that. Again, people have this idea that like Western culture, Western ideals, Western virtues are universal. They are not. They're not. They're better than all of the other virtues. They're better than what other cultures value, but you can't make them value them. They just don't. And acting as if everybody has our same values when they don't is just a recipe for disaster. We can go on. So far we've seen, what is it, $25 billion from Walmart, $15 billion from fraud. Those are nothing. Those are really chump change compared to what our government, again, steals from you to give to people who are just actively disintegrating the fabric of your society. Let's go to clip number 35 now.
I'd like to ask Mr. Carroll, and anybody else would like to answer this, can you name some of these NGOs that have specifically taken these hundreds of millions of dollars and not used it to protect these children?
Catholic Charities, Youth and Family Services, Jewish Family Services. I spoke to a gentleman that works in DHS. He actually sends the electronic fund transfers, and I asked him, sir, tell me, who are you responsible for, and how much is the largest check you cut? He said, I'm over Jewish Family Services, and I cut a check for $600 million. And I said, is that for like 3 years? And he told me, JJ, get in the game. That's 2 or 3 months, and it's renewable.
Every 2 or 3 months, the United States government is sending Jewish Family Services, the immigration promoter facilitator, $600 million. They're getting checks for $600 million. Now, unlike things like SNAP, unlike even things like Medicare fraud, which ostensibly Medicare, you know, if it's not fraudulent, it's probably a good thing. There's nothing remotely good about what the immigration system does. This is just paying $600 million every 2 to 3 months to bring people in to go on all of the other services we offer. For every dollar we spend on Jewish family services to bring in migrants, we probably have to pay an extra $3 to $5 once they're here on other benefits that they receive once they've gone through the process from these immigration groups. Okay, so your money's being robbed to pay for corporations like Walmart, so they don't have to pay living wages, so they don't have to actually serve their customers. They just directly transfer money from your pocket to their corporation, and then they give a bunch of dependents a bunch of sugary drinks to make them sick to prop up the healthcare system. I mean, it's very convenient sort of hand washing hand. Or they're taking billions upon billions of dollars to pay for healthcare needs for people that either shouldn't be in this country or don't even exist, and it's just completely fraudulent. But all of that's being facilitated and exacerbated and made that much worse by the hundreds of millions of dollars we dole out monthly to the people whose entire career and operation and institution does nothing all day, every day, but put more burdens on our systems, undermine our laws, destroy our national cohesion, and piss everybody off. Great, wonderful, thank you so much for all of that. So again, you look at all this stuff and you just go, I don't even think we can solve this piece by piece. It's so overwhelming. The scams are so monumental and ubiquitous. It's like, what are we even going to do to stop this? And it's coming all the more difficult because as these operations continue, as these programs expand and, you know, get put into place, the people that are here in America are less and less American every year and don't actually care about the values and virtues that we uphold. See, all of these things are all examples of what I always talk about, which are the vulnerabilities of a society that values liberty. We want to help people, so we have Medicare. We don't want people to go hungry, so we have SNAP. We want to be a safe harbor for people fleeing violence, so we have the asylum program. And at each instant, these ostensibly good, beneficial, charitable programs are seized by the left and taken advantage of as much as they possibly can, making the entire thing insolvent and really proving that you can't have an open society, you can't have an open civilization with liberty and freedom and free will with people like this taking advantage of you at every pass because they have no internal compunction to doing so. There's nothing inside them that tells them this is wrong because the way they grew up, this is what you're supposed to do. If America is getting taken advantage of, it's not because they're evil and taking advantage of it. It's because America is stupid and deserves it. Again, you can call me whatever names you want. This is reality. And if you don't recognize it, you're going to be a victim of it. Let's go to clip 26 here. I'm not the only one saying this. I'm just probably the only one saying it in the way that I am. But everybody knows this to be true. You have to just wade through a bunch of, you know, weasel words and hemming and hawing to get to the actual point. People outside of the West think cheating is a virtue. Okay, let's watch. Clip 26 here.
Which is a very sensitive topic, but I think we can't avoid talking about it. It is simply a fact that fraud and cheating and academic dishonesty are regarded very differently in China and India than they are here in the United States. Many people in this room are college students. We've got a lot of students here. Many of you probably attend schools with large numbers of international students. I am sure you have observed organized cheating rings. I was recently at an alumni event at my alma mater, and I asked students there, both international students and American-born students whose parents were Indian or Chinese immigrants, and they all said that from day one of enrolling in their classes, they were inundated with WhatsApp messages offering services of essay writing or to sell them copies of tests in advance or to involve them in homework rings where they would give you the answer to that week's problem set. If you talk to professors at schools that have large numbers of international students, they'll tell you. I mean, they'll tell you off the record that for example, the test of English as a foreign language, which is supposed to test your English proficiency in order to come here and become an international student, they see students every year whose scores indicate that they ought to be proficient in English, but who, when you meet the student, can't carry on a simple conversation, can't follow a simple lecture. Professors will only tell you this off the record for a lot of reasons. One, because the schools don't want to publicize that they now have a cheating problem, but also because it can get them in trouble. I'll tell you an anecdote from the University of Maryland, just in our backyard here. A professor there at their business school ended up having to throw out all of the results of a final exam for one of his classes because cheating was so rampant. And in telling his students, in telling his class that he was throwing out all of their test scores, he expressed his dismay at the rise in academic dishonesty that he had observed in the period when foreign students from China had begun to enroll in large numbers in the business school there. That professor was forced to resign because the Chinese students whose cheating he had detected went to the administration and accused him of racial profiling. This is very common. You see it a lot at the UC schools in California, which also have large numbers.
So there you go. Again,
you know,
she goes on about this, but everybody I've talked to that's in a school with a lot of Asians says exactly the same thing. In fact, there was kind of a funny story. I think it was an exchange student to China. And the story is, you know, he gets in one of these WhatsApp groups about cheating, and he tells his professor, and the professor is like, "What? And they didn't include you? I'll have a talk with them and make sure they include you in the WhatsApp next time." Like, he was confused. He thought that the guy was coming to complain that he wasn't being allowed to cheat with everybody else. It like didn't even make sense to the professor that the guy was coming and going, "Hey, these students are cheating because everybody cheats. It's because it's like what you're supposed to do." Again, they think it's clever. They think it's clever. They think they're doing the right thing. So whenever you hear about meritocracy, whenever you hear about H-1B visas and, you know, the best and brightest, just remember these are coming from universities, technically, which are actually diploma mills, which the institutions themselves will help the people cheat because they get kickbacks when those people take their really good grades and go get a job in one of our companies. You know, they'll get kickbacks for facilitating that transfer. It's a scam. It's all a giant scam. Okay? Should we keep going? I mean, there's more ways that we're being torn apart. One of the most common ones we see almost on a daily basis now, clip 29, is the insanity of letting the same person out of prison over and over and over and over when they just keep committing crimes, sometimes the same crime over and over and over. And it's just like there are so many of these things going on relentlessly in every corner of the country. I could show you probably a dozen examples just this week of people with rap sheets, you know, 10 incidents or more in their lives. And that's a low number, but like at least 10 incidents. Killing somebody, raping somebody, breaking somebody's arm in an attack over and over and over and over and over. Here's just one example. This one from New Mexico, clip 29.
Please share your thoughts or comments after watching this video. My name is Jeremy Story. I'm the chief of police for the Las Cruces Police Department. In April of 2024, we had a town hall to discuss crime in Las Cruces. Afterwards, we were in the parking lot of City Hall when we heard glass breaking. We found Mr. Neil Garcia breaking several windows at City Hall, and he was charged with felony vandalism. 2 months later, he broke 9 more windows at City Hall and was charged again. Why do I bring up these cases other than the obvious irony? Because a case was recently dismissed by a district court judge because Mr. Garcia was found to be incompetent. The judge also denied a petition by the district attorney's office for assisted outpatient treatment, or AOT, and the judge did not use the new community-based restoration option that's available in New Mexico. That means the case was dismissed without any consequences, without treatment or resources. Why is this concerning in a microcosm of the New Mexico criminal justice system? Let me give you a little bit more history. Mr. Garcia has been arrested at least 108 times, with at least 15 of those being felonies. He has felony convictions in 2007, 2008, 2012, 2013, and 2018. All 5 of those felony convictions, he was deemed a habitual offender. But obviously the sentencing wasn't enough to keep him from reoffending. Starting in 2022, Mr. Garcia had several cases dismissed because he was found incompetent. And again, that's being dismissed without consequences or treatment. He was also deemed to be not dangerous by the courts. But let me give you a few of his recent involvements. In November of 2022, he was confronted by a GameStop employee where he cussed him out and pushed him. In December of 2022, Mr. Garcia was caught shoplifting at a Walgreens. He threatened the security guard that he had a gun, and then he punched him. In April of 2023, he had 2 incidents where he was caught shoplifting, one at a Dollar General where he swung a strap with a lock on it at an employee, and the other at Los Fiesta Foods, where he threatened several employees and then punched the manager. In June of 2023, he threatened employees at the Savers thrift store with a bat. In July of 2023, Mr. Garcia punched a Murphy's gas station employee and then threw a rock through the window of a random vehicle in the parking lot. In August and September of 2023, he punched two separate people at Albertsons while being confronted with shoplifting. In March of 2024, he swung a golf club at two separate people while shoplifting at Harbor Freight. In April of 2025, Mr. Garcia punched a Walmart employee after he was caught shoplifting. I would argue that he poses a clear danger to the public and the community. And the people he is victimizing are people who are just working and trying to live their lives in the community that we all share. From 2022 to 2025, he has been arrested over 70 times. The district attorney's office has petitioned for involuntary commitment and assisted outpatient treatment, but neither was granted by the court. I wish this was an outlier, but it's not. This is not an exception. This is the rule. My officers are out there arresting him and others like him every day without options. Please share your ideas or thoughts in the comments about how we can make Las Cruces in New Mexico safer.
How about you just kill that guy? Hey, I have an idea. If that guy wasn't around, I bet you'd lower the crime rates like 10%. Legally, obviously, I'm not calling for vigilantism. I'm saying the court should give him the death penalty because he's clearly incapable of existence with other human beings. 108 convictions. 108. And it's at the point now, like, do you understand what he just said? And this, again, across the country. If you are deemed mentally incompetent, you know, there's a chance that you're going to be sent to a hospital and they'll evaluate you, and eventually you'll get to a point where you can, you know, be let out or be, you know, tried at that point. But apparently it's also just an excuse to let you go. Hey, Michael Graves. Hey, there's a poster for Michael Graves. That's kind of cool. If you are incompetent to stand trial, you are incompetent to exist in America, okay? Yeah, no, it is literally like we're in Grand Theft Auto. 108 convictions. And again, that's not even the most. This is just one guy. But they keep letting him out 108 times. So I don't even know. I don't even know what to do anymore. It's just like we're being screwed at every different level. And we're paying for ourselves to be screwed. And there's no end in sight. And the Republicans do post after post after post online about why you have to shut up about Israel. And it's like, do you not see we're being torn apart at the seams? What are you doing?
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now, like, my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But, yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help, too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experiences so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that. Honestly, I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight wise too. And so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.